Happy Holiday Secrets listeners, it's me, Veronica. It's the end of the year, which of course means those dreaded New Year's resolutions. A lot of people are taking stock of their lives, their careers, their financial situations, and start setting some goals for the new year. We spoke with so many amazing women this year, more than 50 episodes, who had some incredible advice on how to do that. One of our favorites was Jen Sincero. She's the author of the best-selling You Are a Badass books, and she's got some great stories about how she struggled as a freelance writer, and solid takeaways on how to build confidence and use awareness as a key to transformation. So we thought we'd share it with you one more time.
I'm Jen Sincero, author of the You Are a Badass book series. You got to where you're at by doing what you're doing. It's very familiar. And if you want to change your life, you better be doing something that's very unfamiliar. And the unfamiliar tends to scare the crap out of us. So that's a very good sign that you're on the right track if you're feeling nervous and scared and excited.
This is Secrets of Wealthy Women from the Wall Street Journal, helping women empower themselves financially. Now, Veronica Dagger.
Best-selling author Jen Sincero is a motivational speaker and success coach who wants to help people transform their lives. Her You Are a Badass book series helps women take control of their lives, money, and careers. Jen, you said you had money problems until you were in your 40s. Would you tell us how your life was back then?
Well, my life was pretty rickety and pretty looking for the freebie, and I was living in a converted garage. I was making like $1,500 a month, driving a car with no grill. There was lots of duct tape involved in my life, things like that.
How come you were having financial problems?
Because I refused to focus on making money. I thought that meant you were a dirty, moral-free person. And I was also very attached to the idea that I sucked at making money. And so I had to prove that every day, you know, subconsciously.
I want to look into those a little bit more down the road, but how did your childhood shape your view of money?
Once I started doing all of this work on myself, one of the biggest discoveries I made that was one of the most just liberating things was I realized that my dad, one of the ways he showed love and attention to me was to hand me a 20 or help me financially. And when I started digging deep into the reasons that I was blocking my own financial success, I realized that I felt deep down that if I got wealthy, I'd be basically stabbing my dad in the heart, you know, by stopping his, you know, by not needing him anymore, by, you know, not needing his $20 anymore.
You decided to sell your possessions and put them in storage a few years ago so you could travel around the world. How come?
Oh, because I was living in LA at the time and I didn't really like LA very much. And I had just started an online business and my cat died. And that was the only thing that was keeping me in LA. I know my cat. And so my coach at the time, you know, I was actually going on a vacation to Europe and she's like, why don't you just stay? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, you hate LA, you love to travel. Why not go on an adventure? And you have an online business, you can run it from anywhere in the world. So I did. Within 2 weeks, I made the decision, like had a huge yard sale and got rid of my place and left.
You went to India and that started to change your life. Tell us about that.
India was my first really big solo trip, and I don't even know why I went. I really didn't know that much about it, excepting that it was on the other side of the planet. and I was terrified to go. I was determined to go, but I was terrified. I just had this image of myself as this little dot that could just poof, you know, disappear in a puff of smoke. Nobody I loved would have any idea where I was. And I woke up every night a couple weeks before going, freaking out. But for some reason, I was at the international terminal of the airport, and I ended up going. And I just remember stepping into the airport, all my fears slipped away, and I was so excited, and it felt 100% right. And I ended up having this incredibly just wild, wild adventure. And when I got back, I thought that, you know, after seeing what I saw over there, you know, how some people live and the poverty, that I would be so grateful for my little crappy garage that I was living in. But what happened instead was I had faced this huge fear of mine and had this incredibly enjoyable experience, and it expanded my belief in what I could do, and I moved out of the garage very shortly thereafter.
How did you get the confidence from going, being part of a band and working in the music industry, to becoming a self-help guru?
First of all, I don't think I'm a guru, but thank you. Because I was such a train wreck. I mean, we all get interested in things that have to do with ourselves, basically. And I became obsessed with what the hell my problem was, especially around money. You know, why was it that no matter what I did, I just could not get over this money stuff? And I was always broke and always whining about money and never having any. So the transformation to self-help for me happened because I just dove into it 100%. Like, I was determined to figure it out. So that's how I got schooled.
What's the key to writing a bestseller?
I think being honest. I know being honest. I think, you know, with any art form, it's when you're pushing up against that scary space of, oh my God, this is going to make me look like a big weirdo. I don't know if I want to say this out loud. Those times, and that, you know, I'm a big believer in you're allowed to keep some things private in your life, but when you're about to cross that line into taking a risk, that's how, you know, it's all that stuff that people relate to. You know, if you're just skimming the surface and saying what everybody wants to hear, who cares? But when you say something risky, then people are like, oh my God, I can't believe she just said that. And they relate to you better, I think.
Coming up, Jen Sincero discusses how her personal transformation motivates her to inspire other women.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access. Only for WSJ subscribers.
You're listening to Secrets of Wealthy Women from the Wall Street Journal.
You say it's a problem when people say the words, I can't afford it. How come?
Because one of the things that human beings love more than anything on earth is to be right. So when you say, I can't afford it, I suck at relationships, the economy sucks, blah, 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 whatever comes out of your mouth, you start to prove over and over. So if you're constantly saying, I can't afford it, you're like, see, I'm a freelance writer. I live in a garage. The economy sucks. You know, I had all, that was my personal mantra. And I just spent my days proving it. And so that's when you shift your focus onto something instead of I can't afford it to something like I love money and it flows to me easily. Then you look for reasons why you love money and you look for the ways that it flows to you easily and you start proving that instead.
You say to write a letter to money as it's a person. What do you mean by that one?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that so many of us don't make money is because we've got all of these really icky beliefs about money. So by writing a letter to it and really doing it free form and just letting it flow, you discover all of the messed up beliefs that you have about it. So, you know, for example, my letter to money back in the day was, I wish I had more of you. You make me so happy when you show up, but I don't trust you and I feel dirty even admitting that I like you. You know, I had lots of push-pull with it and it was very enlightening.
How did that help you?
Because then once you know where your issues lie, then you can start to face them and question them. So I started looking at, why do I feel dirty saying that I want money? And then I was like, is money a bad thing? And then I was like, actually, it's not. Like, it bought me this cup of coffee this morning and it would, you know, help me buy a new guitar so that I could write this new song, you know. And I started to really question my beliefs about money. And so that really is why we say that awareness is the key to transformation, because if you're not aware of what you're dragging around as far as your beliefs and thoughts and words go, it's going to be very difficult to change them.
You say we need to surround ourselves with people who lift us up. How do we find those people?
You know, in the early days, I had to pay for those kinds of friends because none of my friends, I mean, everybody thought I was in a cult because I was reading all this self-help stuff and none of my friends were reading it. And we surround ourselves with people who reinforce the things we need to be right about, right? So I surrounded myself with people who were also saying I can't afford it and that money's evil and you can't be creative if you're rich and all that stuff. So I started going to these seminars, you know, on making money. And other people were in those seminars who had invested in themselves and who were okay focusing on that kind of thing. You know, my coaches, you know, surrounding myself with my coaches. But I was paying for all of these experiences. And but it was everything. You've got to surround yourself with like-minded people because we get dragged down so quickly by the thoughts and words of other people.
What do you do if your family are the ones bringing you down?
You do not share your hopes and dreams with your family. You know, it's so common. The people closest to us are 90% of the times the one who drag us back the most because they don't want you to change. They, you know, subconsciously, they are comfortable and love you as you are. And so if you go out and like lose the weight or get married or have a baby or, you know, do something they're not comfortable as identifying you with, you're basically killing off your identity to them and they get grouchy. So I always recommend, you know, surround yourself with people, like-minded people who get it, share all your big dreams with them, and just, you know, if you know your family's not going to be supportive, don't share it with them.
What do you say to women who feel that they have so much potential, but they just feel stuck?
Oh, well, I have many books full of things to say to these women. But first of all, I mean, one of the things that really transformed my life was to stop pretending that I could do it on my own because I had a lifetime of proof that that wasn't working, you know, 40 some years of insisting that I could figure it out. So getting help with, you know, coaching and mentoring and taking courses and seminars, like really doing stuff that made me very uncomfortable, but doing it. And getting clear on what your crap is around money, you know, if you don't, or what your issues are around whatever it is you're trying to change in your life. Get clear on what your story is and investigate that story.
Say we also can't be comfy if we want to achieve our goals. How so?
Because you got to where you're at by doing what you're doing. It's very familiar. And if you want to change your life, you better be doing something that's very unfamiliar. And the unfamiliar tends to scare the crap out of us. So that's a very good sign that you're on the right track if you're feeling nervous and scared and excited.
How do you make the time, though?
You figure it out. We put a man on the moon. You know what I mean? Figure it out. How important is it to you? Really? I mean, delegate things, stretch yourself, maybe, you know, go out on a limb and hire somebody to help you, even though you, quote unquote, don't have the money yet. You know, that was one of the biggest things that inspired me to really change things in my life. I was totally in debt and I still hired somebody to help me. And the terror of spending that money was one of the greatest motivators. I ended up making more money in those 3 months after I hired that person than I'd ever made in my life because I was like, oh my God, I just spent money I don't have. I've got to figure this out.
You say we should get specific on the financial life we want to lead. How so?
Because a lot of people just say, I want to be a millionaire or, you know, whatever. And that is a very vague aspiration. So, and money's all about numbers. So you've got to get clear on exactly how much money you want to make and what it is for. So I always recommend getting clear on the things that will make your life so much better that you're excited to create. So if you want to travel more, if you want to take your family on cool vacations, if you want to buy a new car, if you want to donate much more money to charity, how much does that all cost? And, you know, when do you want to make it by? Getting into the specifics allows you to get excited about things because making money doesn't really mean anything. It's the specifics of what money buys you that gets you excited. And we are creatures who are motivated by emotion and excitement.
But what if you do that and you don't reach your goal?
Then you celebrate however far you got and you don't give up until you do.
You're a big believer in visualization. How can that help us?
Because it gets you into the specifics of what it is you desire. And when you visualize the specifics of what you desire, you get into an excited emotional state. And that is the state you need to be in when the fears and the obstacles come up so that you can stay the course instead of back down and fall prey to all your excuses.
Now, some people say visualization will take people out of the present moment, and so that's a negative thing.
Oh, that's interesting. It's okay.
You know, it's okay to spend some time daydreaming and getting excited about your life. It's okay to leave the present for a couple minutes there.
How do we stay more present?
I believe, gosh, this is my personal Achilles heel, one of them. I think staying more present is really about consciously slowing down, leaving earlier, breathing more, getting really practiced in breathing, which you know, if you have a strong meditation practice, you get into this sort of slower, more intentional space. And I really think if you just slow down and breathe more deeply, it sounds really weird, but walking around, if you're really taking deep breaths and absorbing them, you know, that moment, it really makes a huge difference.
What's the biggest lesson you had to learn about handling wealth?
What to do with it. You know, I never had any money. And I, you know, in the beginning, just had an insane amount of money just sitting in my checking account because I was terrified to touch it.
And when you have a big bestseller and you have that big lump sum, how do you make sure it lasts?
You know, invest it well, take advice from people who know what they're doing, keep, you know, and passive income. I'm a big believer in, you know, doing things that keep making money while I'm taking a nap.
Time now for your secrets.
I'm Jen Sincero, best-selling author, and my money secret is do something you love to do, figure out a viable income stream doing that thing, and stop at nothing to make it come true.
That was so great. We want to thank Jen and all the amazing women we spoke to this year. It's been really momentous. We'll be taking a short break at the beginning of the new year, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks with some new interviews, like the one with Toni Coe, the founder of NYX Cosmetics. She talked to us about the challenges of starting a company in her 20s and how hard it was to stop working when she sold it in her 40s.
From the surface, it looks so glamorous, right?
Yeah.
But it really is not. You know, I pack boxes. Like, I used to, like, lift boxes that are 30, 40 pounds.
So, in the meantime, take time for yourself, your career, and life goals. And if you have time, catch up on some Secrets episodes. You can listen to our full archive on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast provider. We'd love your feedback, so leave a comment. And as always, thank you for listening.